We're broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios.
Visit mte.com.
Middle Tennessee Electric.
Serving to make life better.
Since 1936.
Since 1936.
This is WGNS Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years.
Since 1947.
It's how my day begins.
It's how this day begins.
This is WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
Today we have Chad Gerke in studio with us today from the Murfreesboro Municipal Airport. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Scott. Great. It's a beautiful fall Friday.
It is. It feels perfect out there this morning. For those who have not been by the Murfreesboro Airport in recent years, you guys have done a total renovation, new construction. I mean, a lot has changed out there.
Yeah, it's really been exciting. And I think what you're seeing there is the airport, for many people coming to Murfreesboro to check it out, from businesses or whatever, it's your first impression. You know, we talked about that impression that you had as a kid going to an airport.
Yeah.
People coming into Murfreesboro, if they see a vibrant airport, a vibrant facilities, nice kept facilities, it makes a huge impression about what kind of community we are.
Yeah.
And so everybody we have come in really love our facilities, our terminal. This last week, we hosted 60 to 70 people from around the country that were part of an airplane organization. They came from California, Canada, Rhode Island, Florida, all over the country, and they absolutely loved Murfreesboro. We got a bunch of local restaurants to cater their event. They had a great time. We'd even had some singers come in from Nashville to entertain them. It was awesome, and they love Murfreesboro, and they're coming back in 2 years. So.
Now, for anybody listening who does not utilize private aviation, they fly commercially for whatever reason, if they've never been out there, they probably don't understand the impact that Murfreesboro Airport has on our community, but it does have a big impact.
Yeah. Back in 2019, the state did an economic impact study of all the airports across Tennessee, and Murfreesboro, with the community that we're serving and everything, it was over an $80 million impact just from the airport into our community. Now, that was 2019, and general aviation, unlike the airlines, when COVID hit, it just rocketed because people were still traveling. They were using charter. They were using other means. I really feel like that number is probably in the 97 to almost, over 100 at this point, million. So it's a very impactful part of our community. I think there's over 400 some jobs that are just created through the airport, either on site or off supporting the airport.
Another aspect of the airport that I don't think anybody really thinks about unless you're in that realm is that before we see the opening of some of the new chain stores or companies that come to Murfreesboro, they will literally send a team into town. They'll fly in here, they'll stay in Murfreesboro, and they'll survey land, they'll decide on, purchases. All of that stuff happens, though, on a regular basis.
It's so interesting to see. You start to see the same aircraft or the same people coming in the door. And then kind of piques your curiosity. Who are these people? What are they doing? And we serve them. We don't really try to bother them too much, And then the next time they come in, like you said, there's rolls of plans under their arms and they're at the planning commission or something like that. And you go, that's the next restaurant. That's the next store. That's the next manufacturer coming in. And it's really interesting to watch that process occur.
It is. And that said, it shows how significant the airport is as far as the development of our city.
Absolutely. I think the airport always reflects the dynamics of the community. And Murfreesboro, we know the statistics. It's one of the fastest growing communities, so much going on here. And that airport has to reflect that. And we see it in all the airports around here, Nashville, B&A. Mm-hmm. My goodness, the changes that have occurred there. This area of the country is just booming. And transportation and people need to travel. And that's just one form of travel that we have to accommodate and help.
Now, I know we've talked about this before, but you're kind of landlocked where you are. So how do you go about planning for growth?
Right. So there was was some really key decisions made back in the 90s, and it dealt with other city property. And right next door to the airport is McKnight Park. In the 90s, we were also expanding other facilities. The Siegel Soccer Complex came on, Barfield Crescent Park came on, and all those properties, much like the airport, were federally funded properties. The city did some land swaps, so some of the old soccer fields that were on McKnight Park were then given to the airport. So that gave us over about 30 acres or more to expand on. And so we're just now, in 2025 now, just now getting into that area. You've seen the TDK hangar where Life Flight is located. That's part of that. But now we're getting in there. We're about to break dirt on some utility improvements there. So you'll see some hangars, you'll see some things. But it is, it's really tight plans, but we've got a great future there at the Murfreesboro Airport where we're located to still be able to serve the community for the type of small business type aircraft that are in and out of that airport.
Now, I know a couple of years ago, MTSU, they were, I guess, trying to figure out what they're going to do about the future because you're landlocked. They're landlocked, too, for their planes out there. And they made a decision to move to Shelbyville, which I guess hasn't fully been done yet.
No,
they're still building out there. But what will that equal for the Murfreesboro Airport?
It opens up new opportunities. Really, with MTSU and the growth that they've experienced, it was very difficult for other users to use the airport. And we had to go through kind of a growing pain. And that's not just an MTSU, Murfreesboro issue. That's an issue across the country with the demand for pilots that we have right now for the airlines and the military. So what that does for us is, for the Murfreesboro Airport, is it gives us some new opportunities to expand on that business type traffic that's coming in and out of here. There's demand, but that demand did not, those companies did not want to come in here and deal with the flight training.
Yeah.
What it's done for MTSU is it's really opened their eyes. It gave them an opportunity to really look at the program and put the focus in where it needed to be to meet that demand that they were receiving. There's over 1,000 students just in the Pro Pilot program. It's one of the largest, if not the largest program now at MTSU. So it demands the focus it needed. So now they have the personnel to back it up. It's going to take a while. We're dealing with federal government and state government and the university. So that movement to Shelbyville is going to take several years. We're looking at a period from now to about 2031 before that completely occurs. So there's a lot of steps in between.
I know, for example, in the broadcast industry, a lot of radio station owners, managers, and whatnot, that they talk to each other, you know, mm-hmm. they trade ideas, thoughts, whatever. Is that also true in the world of community airports?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a member and past president of the Tennessee Aviation Association, and it's exactly that group. It's a group of airport managers and directors across the state, and we talk with the directors at Nashville. We talk to the people in Shelbyville and in Morristown and Memphis and all across the state. We get together, in fact, our annual conference is here in Murfreesboro at the Embassy Suites. And it's a great time, and that's where we exchange things. You know, I think most people think we're in competition, but we really try to help each other out because we're all here trying to serve our local communities in the state economically and all that. So it really helps us to help each other out.
Because I was going to ask about that relationship with the Shelbyville Airport on 231.
Yeah.
I know they have a ton of land out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a really blessing to them and for the expansion of MTSU. Paul Perry, I've worked with him. He's the manager down there. He worked with Aeronautics Division for a number of years. And we help each other out. We exchange data so that we can be prepared for whatever's coming down the road, you know, as we kind of swap roles here in the next few years.
You know, I know the runway length has to do with the size of plane that can safely land or take off at different airports. Do you ever have to reroute folks to Shelbyville?
Or other places, or Smyrna typically is where they'll go in Rutherford County. And yes, we'll have a pilot or a dispatcher call, ask about not only the length, but the weight-bearing capabilities are real key to that. So if they have a large aircraft, some of the Gulfstream type aircraft, if they're coming in, a lot of passengers or full of fuel, something like that, and it's a hot day, it may not be a good situation to come here, you know, into Murfreesboro. But we still get, I don't know if people realize, but on a daily basis, we're getting NetJets, FlexJets, some of those companies that are coming in doing charter type work into Murfreesboro, and it's kind of a little hidden secret, but they're there all the time, coming in and out, bringing people in or taking them out to other places, LA and across the country from Murfreesboro.
You know, there's been, I don't know if it's a renewed push for charter flights or what, but I've seen more online ads ever than I've seen before, really, about chartering planes.
Yeah, I think that really comes from the frustration in the airline industry. If you've traveled lately, I don't think I've been on a flight lately that isn't absolutely packed.
Yes.
There's a frustration level from the time you get to the airport to parking, to getting on a tram or trying to get to the airport, get your luggage checked in, get through TSA, and by the time you make it to the gate, you're exhausted, frustrated, and the vacation has yet begun. So I think there's part of that, and people, if they have the ability to want to take control of that, take control of that time. I'm not going to be making my travel plans around when the airline flies. Yeah. I'm going to make my travel plans. We just had a group come in the other morning, and they were taking a hunting trip out to the Dakotas somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they said, last year we drove, a group of us drove. It took us 18 hours. By the time I got there, I was exhausted. The other group flew, and the airline lost all their gear, including their rifles. And it took them about 3 days to find them.
Pointless trip, really.
So their trip was ruined. They said, all right, this year we're investing in a charter. We're all going up there. Our bags are right behind us. We know we're all going to get there. We're not exhausted, and they're going to have a great time. So I'm looking forward to when they come back, how it went this time, and they'll probably do it again the same way next year.
You know, you're right about, for sure, about how commercial planes are overcrowded these days. I mean, they book them to the last seat right now. And that being said, at the same time, prices for flying commercially keep going up.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, how economically friendly on the wallet is it for somebody to chart an aircraft for let's say their entire family or a group of friends going hunting?
I think when you have a group of friends like that, I think divvying up that cost could make it a little bit more palatable.
Yeah.
But what you're purchasing there with charter is the time. And you're saving time, you're saving effort. So there's a cost to that.
Yeah.
And that's what you've got to kind of balance when looking at between going the airline or going charter. And what is that time worth to you? What is that time with your family? Or if you're a business, what does that mean? And that maybe with charter, you can hit two or three locations in a day versus one where you're just going back and forth to the airport and waiting in line and sitting in the at the gate and be home the next day, you know, for your kid's baseball game or something like that. So what is that time worth to you? And that's where the charter comes in.
It's pretty amazing what you can do in a single day. I mean, the amount of distance you can travel, I mean, it's awesome.
Right. And be anywhere in the United States in a matter of a few hours is just really impressive. And still, it kind of blows my mind, even being in this industry for so long, you know.
With this next question, you could tell me the make and model of a plane. I'd have no clue how big it is, what it is, or anything. Can you describe, I guess, give an idea to the audience as to how large of an aircraft can land at the Murfreesboro Airport?
Sure. If anybody recalls the 727, it landed. It never could take off again. So we're going to throw that one out right off the bat.
That was a FedEx plane
donated. That was the FedEx 727 donation to the university. But what we look at is small jet aircraft and turbine aircraft. They can seat up to maybe 19. That's usually stretching it. Most of them are around 12 seats. Mm-hmm. And probably one of the largest is a Falcon 900, which has three engines. And it holds anywhere, depending on the seating arrangement, again, that 12 to 19 passengers. Most of them are coming in that we see have at most 6 to 8 people on. Most are coming in with 4. So it's really a small aircraft. If you're looking at Nashville, nothing like the airlines, more like the private side. When you look across the airport to the GA side there on Hangar Road, you'll see some of those smaller jets. That's what's coming in and out of Murfreesboro. And it seems to be in numbers that continue to grow.
I'm guessing overall the biggest number of planes you see are prop planes.
Yes, absolutely.
But is there an increase in jet planes as well?
Because
seems like those are getting a little less expensive for a lot of companies to purchase.
And there's, you know, there's smaller jets. Look at the Cirrus is putting together a little jet that is a 4 to 6 passenger, 4 or 5 passenger aircraft. It's really exciting that allows them to take off and have that speed to get from place to place. MTSU is going through their changes, their number of operations have decreased by over 20%. And what we're seeing from that is that other users are coming in and taking up that gap. So our operations have still grown despite MTSU's decline in operations. And we lost five aircraft were relocated to Shelbyville. They have around 12 that are operating there. But what was the key is really the beginning of standard operating procedures at the airport and MTSU getting on board with that. And once they did, then dispatching the aircraft to other airports and not just focusing in on Murfreesboro made a huge difference. And that's where we're seeing the decrease in their flight operations, decrease in complaints from other pilots, decrease from our neighbors, because it was just kind of getting overwhelming just focusing in all those operations, all that concentration on the Murfreesboro Airport. We just couldn't handle it.
And of course, speed, when you're talking about travel, is a very big deal, unless, you know, you're a private pilot, you have a prop plane, and you fly your family to places like Destin every few months or years, whatever the case is. But when it comes to those speeds, how fast are some of these private jets actually flying versus a propeller Cessna plane?
Right. Yeah. Well, in a propeller plane, I think you could get down to a single engine down to the Destin, the 30A area in maybe 4 or 5 hours, six hours at the most. In the jets, you're going to save a little bit of time in 2 or 3 hours. And boy, if you've ever sat on 65 trying to get through there and go through Andalusia and some of those back roads through Alabama, if you could do that in a few hours, that'd be wonderful. You know?
Yeah, I agree totally, for sure. Hey, and then what is on the drawing board? Because one of the things that was recently approved, and it was approved, I guess, by the federal government and then also by the city council even, and that's an air traffic control tower.
So I talked a little bit about those standard operating procedures, and the goal there was to improve efficiency and safety and all that. The next step that we're taking is that what we're seeing in our numbers and all that is the ability to participate in the federal contract tower program. So it's a tower situation, kind of like Smyrna Airport or recently John C. Toon, where it's a company that comes in and provides that air traffic control tower facility and services to that community. It's a program that we're participating in. Right now, we're kind of into the middle portion of that process where we're studying to find the location, the siting of where those towers should go, and then the height. And once we have that location and height, now we can start to look at the design and the construction plans for that thing. So it's still for that tower. So it's another probably 2 to 3 year process before that construction will be completed.
Now, because that is a federally licensed type thing we're talking about here, was it necessary for city council to approve it, or was that more of a, we want to be involved and show our support in this?
You know, as a part of the FAA, the city is called the sponsor.
Okay.
And so part of that is that it's an agreement between the federal government and us in the city. And the city usually has to participate 5-10% of the cost of that, of whatever that program is. So the federal government is going to pay about 90%. The state usually participates a matching 5% or so. And with those agreements, there's also regulations and things that we must do as a community in participating with such a program. So it's very important that the sponsor, the city, whoever is that governing body, there's contracts, there's agreements that are signed that we must approve. And so it goes through the airport commission and the city council. And then depending on what the contract is or what the plans are, it may go through planning commission or whatever. So it is it's quite a process.
Now, is that tower going to be manned 24/7?
No, it'll be similar to like what we have at Smyrna, where it's probably a 12-hour shift. And those the interesting thing about that is that facility, the building itself will be the city's responsibility to maintain, but the people that are inside the tower that are working, our air traffic controllers, those are federally paid employees. So there's a reimbursement that goes to that company through the federal government, through the federal contract tower program. So it's really interesting that we get that service basically for free through the FAA.
Now, I know across the nation, there's been a problem with having enough air traffic controllers, and then there's been other issues with some of these larger commercial airports with scheduling. I mean, you name it. There's been a lot of issues.
Well, that's what, and you know, that's what we're seeing. MTSU, demand for pilots with the airlines. We need mechanics. We need mechanics on those airplanes as much as they're flying. We need they're back in the hangar getting worked on a regular basis, and we need air traffic controllers bad. MTSU had a program for air traffic controllers, and the federal government kind of played around with that, and MTSU backed out of that program. There was a lack of interest from students and everything, but it is an interesting calling. Not everybody can be an air traffic controller, high stress at times, but we need those people. We have the most efficient and safe program in the world as far as air traffic control, but it takes really good people to still control that and manage such an amazing system.
Again, Chad Gerke in studio with us this morning. He manages the Murfreesboro Municipal Airport. We had a question here, and if you do have questions, our number is 615-893-1450, but they're asking, on a average day, how many airplanes come in and how many airplanes fly out of the Murfreesboro Airport?
All right, so there's around 160 aircraft that are based there. Heavy flight training, so we're looking at, on an average, around 250 to 300 operations per day. On our very high end, after we've had, say, a lot of rain or weather come in and nobody can fly, the flight training will back up, and we'll see operations up to like 500, just over 500 per day. So, but that's pretty rare. That's really rare, and usually occurs after weather. So typically, average 250 to 300.
I mean, that sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah, those are operations. So an operation is a landing and a takeoff. There are two operations. So 300 operations, that's, you know, really 150 takeoffs and 150 landings. So over a 24-hour period, or, you know, really 12 hours, they're usually flying about 6 to 10 each day.
I mean, that's pretty heavy compared to, like, if you look back at the history of Murfreesboro, you know, back in the 1990s, we had about 50,000 residents here. How many were landing back then?
Now we're looking back at maybe 30, 40 operations per day. So it has dramatically increased. Like I said, the airport kind of reflects the community and the dynamics of that community. So you could definitely see it here.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the size of the community and plans for the future as we grow when we come back, because I have to take a short break. Mm-hmm. And we'll get to some of those questions in just a second. But again, talking about the Murfreesboro Airport this morning, stay with us. Again, we do have more coming up in just a second.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
This is Richard Carton, and I'd like to tell you about Adams Place. We have been here 8 months, and at this point we have not even turned our stove on. No need. They come in every week and change your linen and clean your house, and it's just like a dream, like being on a cruise every day.
This is Terry Deal. Come tour Adams Place and discover living a dream in your senior years.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Again, Chad Gerke with us today from the Murfreesboro Municipal Airport. And, you know, as Murfreesboro grows, we've read studies by UT talking about how, what is it, Rutherford County set to be over 700,000 residents in like next 30 years or something. Crazy numbers, though. What does that mean for Murfreesboro and the Murfreesboro Airport?
Well, a lot I think there's some great opportunities in the horizon. And with this MTSU relocation, I think it's a good thing for them to be able to expand and grow. I think it's a great opportunity for the airport to serve the community in a whole different way. And if we are growing like that for Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, there's going to be new demands, new users, new people, new companies that are coming in with whole new ideas and all that. Well, how can we help them with their travel needs? What can we do for their personnel? Do they have their own flight department? We have the land available. We're getting in the pieces and parts now to be able to accommodate that type of company. I think the airport is an economic asset to the community. It's something that the City Hall is using to attract companies and jobs into the community. The terminal is a shining example of that to attract people. And it's the beautiful thing about it, too, is that it is used by our community. We lease out spaces. There's a number of organizations that meet out there to have a meeting or whatever. And it gives them an opportunity to come out to the airport and see what we're doing there and a different light in the business community, how that comes in and out of Murfreesboro through our airport.
Do you ever foresee the airport actually relocating and starting over, if you would?
You know, that was something we looked at in the past when we did the airport layout plan. And as you look at Rutherford County and you try to put a pin on the map to say, well, that would be a good place. There's so much growth in every place around Murfreesboro, around the community. It's really hard to find that spot that's wide open enough for the airspace and the land to accommodate that. So what we're doing is we're continuing to invest in our airport. We've put in the things in place to help protect the airspace around it. And, you know, for what our role is, our mission, we see that we can still fulfill that for years to come. And, you know, the great thing is in Rutherford County, we're blessed to be to have Smyrna just up the road, so that heavy type of equipment can come in and out of Smyrna. And then a little bit further up the road and in about an hour's worth of traffic, you can go to B&A and get on an airline and pretty much go nonstop to just about any place in the country, which is a great blessing. And that, you know, has really improved over the years, too. We've never had those nonstops like we've had, you know, recently.
New tenants at the Murfreesboro Airport. A new hangar, I think, is in the process of being built.
Yes, we're in the design phase of that right now. We hope to get that out for bid prior to or during the holidays, so that come spring we'll be into construction on that. And that's definitely, this is that transition that we're going through with the university making their move. We've got to position the airport to be able to take over that revenue that we were getting from the university and start new revenue sources and be more dynamic that way. So so that in 5 years or whenever they do make their total move, it isn't a hard hit for the airport or for the city. We're already generating the revenue and moving on. So it's good all around.
For renting out an individual who has an airplane, for renting out some type of hangar space, is it as simple as, you know, going to Percy Priest Lake and renting a boat slip? I mean, what do you do?
There's a little bit more to it. and I don't know what a boat slip rents for, but for example, we have, I would say, probably around a 3-year waiting list. And it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. Do I get my airplane before I have shelter, or do I wait for the shelter and then buy my airplane?
Yeah.
You know, so there's that kind of chicken and egg kind of game that occurs. But typically, hangar rents are $300 to $500 a month. You have to show proof of insurance on your airplane, proof that you're maintaining that aircraft, so that we know that we have aircraft that are usable and flyable and all that, using that very precious ground and facilities.
Now, in not just Murfreesboro, but Rutherford County, because I know these are things you have to keep up with, are there a lot of individuals who own their own, you know, makeshift runway, if you would, that doesn't look like a traditional runway.
Right. There are quite a few private strips here in Rutherford County. Most of them are in a grass field, and unless you know what you're looking for, some of them have them marked with a particular type of cones out there that kind of mark the edges of the runway. Some are just by the way they mow it. You can tell that yeah, that's where they yeah. land, and there's usually a barn off to the side. Well, that's a hangar. You know, there's the tractor in there, and there's an airplane in there. So, yeah, there's quite a few of those, and those take some communication with the county and your neighbors. There's some restrictions on there as to how many aircraft can come and go out of your little strip and things like that.
Typically not going to see a Learjet land there.
No. They're usually small little airplanes.
Does that impose any danger for you know, flights taking off from Murfreesboro? I mean, for a pilot who's not familiar with the area?
Those are all chartered. So the charts that the pilots are seeing inside their aircraft, if they have the latest Garmin type moving maps and things like that, you'll see these points of interest on their charts right there in front of them. So, and with ADS-B and things like that, where we can see each other in the air on these screens, it really has taken a lot of that. It gives that pilot so much information that it really helps those situations.
Sounds good. Again, Chad Gerke with us this morning from the Murfreesboro Municipal Airport, and we have news coming your way next.